Medical University of South Carolina in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences with primary affiliation in the Hollings Cancer Center. She completed her doctoral training at the University of South Carolina in the Arnold School of Public Health's Department of Health Promotion, Education, and Behavior. Dr. Rice was an Environmental Protection Agency Science to Achieve Results EPA Star Fellow from 2011 to 14. She was the first graduate student at USC to receive this award. Her research interests include psychosocial factors, environmental exposures, cancer, and health disparities. She uses geospatial techniques and community-based participatory research in her research. Dr. Rice's dissertation focused on eradicating perceived and actual cancer risks in disadvantaged neighborhoods disproportionately impacted by environmental justice issues to inform future public health interventions. She's currently engaged in cancer health disparities research in the Center for Population Health and Outcomes at MUSC, which I don't know what that is. Sorry. And if people need to get up and stretch their legs, you know, that's fine.
Good afternoon. Today I'm going to present on an assessment of community environmental health and perceived cancer risk, a study in metropolitan Charleston. I have no financial conflicts or interests of sources of financial support to disclose. This is just a brief outline. For the sake of time, I won't go through the details, but I'll introduce learning objectives and end with acknowledgement. Can you all hear me?
They're recording it.
Oh, okay. So these are the learning objectives: to assess community perceptions of environmental health and cancer risk, to assess community environmental factors that contribute to health disparities in at-risk populations through community-engaged research. So just a brief background of the study area. This work was completed in metropolitan Charleston, but we focused on North Charleston. And North Charleston is actually one of the tri-county area's largest principal cities in Charleston. And North Charleston is, the population is the opposite of the city of Charleston. So, of course, the population is largely African American. So there's 47% African American. Education level, 80% have greater than a high school education. Actually, it's less than a high school education, excuse me. Median income is less than about $39,000. 22% of people are below the poverty line. So just a brief background about the research. So as we know, if you don't know, environmental pollution accounts for 2% of cancer deaths in the United States. And it may sound small, but when you think about how many cancer deaths occur in the United States, that accounts for about 500,000 deaths. So it can be, if you think about the different states across the United States, it's a large percentage. Underserved and minority populations in metropolitan areas, they experience complex environmental challenges. So there's disparities in the distribution of like hazardous waste facilities. So in Charleston, we've identified there's a disparity in terms of the toxic release facilities that are in Charleston, as well as leaking underground storage tanks and things of that nature. And there's also a high cancer risk and lower uptake of preventative services when it comes to minority and low-income populations. So in general, if you don't know, risk perceptions influence health behavior. So one of the things that we wanted to do after working with our community partner was to kind of look at the correlation between risk perceptions and environmental health risk, particularly risk perceptions of cancer, because cancer is related to the environment is related to cancer, and we wanted to explore environmental hazards and lifestyle behaviors. We particularly focus on African Americans, so they are the at-risk population I'm referring to, because they are the largest population in North Charleston. And North Charleston has 22 environmental justice communities. In addition to that, all 22 are predominantly African American. In addition to that, one of the African American communities that we work with, they're set to expand the Port of Charleston, which is one of the largest ports, into one of those communities to create an outlet through one of those 22 communities, hence our research. So the significance of this work is, of course, we know where we live, work, and play is important, and it affects our perceptions as well as our health. So understanding the risk perceptions of these populations, which few research and a little bit of the literature kind of explores, is very important because we can help prevent and control some of the disparities that we are seeing, not just in environmental health, but also in cancer. So our methodological approach, this was actually a part of, it's primarily my dissertation work, but this is a part of a supplement we had to a P20 at the University of South Carolina. And this our methodological approach used qualitative and quantitative assessments. But what we did was, for my dissertation, I did two different studies. I looked at perceived cancer risk, which I'll focus on today, but I'll give a little bit of some of the actual cancer risks that I explored as well. So our qualitative aspect was photo voice, and I presented on that last year, but I'll just give you an example of how we use photo voice, a cross-sectional research design, and particularly a health survey, and we used GIS to kind of explore health disparities in Charleston. So I'll focus on giving you just a little the outcomes of the environmental health survey. So we developed the survey using primarily existing items, so from existing surveys. So we reviewed the literature to see what was out there, but we focused on using a survey from the group at Princeton. And so this survey looked at perceptions of environmental health risks. So being that these are environmental justice communities, we wanted to see how useful maybe these questions would be in terms of asking about perceptions. And we interjected some questions from the health informational national trends survey on cancer, as well as the BRFAS questions, behavioral risk factors surveillance survey. We reviewed the photo voice results, and we used the photo voice results, some of the things that came from Charleston, to kind of adjust or revise the questions to make sure they were specific for our population, so we tailored them. And I'll give you an example of that near the end of the presentation. In addition, we discussed some of the findings with our community partners. They wanted to do this survey, and we reviewed it and drafted the survey and pilot tested it. So our procedures for the survey, we had two modes. Individuals could complete a paper-based survey, and they could also complete online survey. They were exactly the same. The online system we used was Qualtrics, and it generates an actual link. We used the Facebook page to actually share that information. We also used word of mouth. But most of the participants completed the paper and pen survey. We had a total of 427 people complete the survey, most of which, of course, completed the paper survey. And we used the CCRAB and the EH Core. CCRAB is our community, Charleston Community Research Action Board, and they were the primary community partner that we utilized and that we work with in the community in Charleston. And the EH Core is a group out of the University of South Carolina and the Institute for Partnerships to Eliminate Health Disparities. It's that EH stands for the Environmental Health Core. We had survey packets for individuals that did not want to complete surveys in person. They were able to take the survey home. They also had a card where they could provide their information because we collected zip code information for GIS purposes. The instrument included six domains, but this presentation will focus on four. And we looked at social demographic factors, environmental health risk, perceived cancer risk, and risk-reducing health behaviors. And this just tells you where the scales came from, the number of items on the survey that were actually utilized, and the conceptual framework, which will not be presented today. So in order to participate, individuals had to identify as Black or African American. They had to be at least 18 years of age. They had to live in metropolitan Charleston for at least 1 year, or had lived there for 1 year. They had to be able to read and understand English. For those who could not read, we had a large elderly population. We read the questions to them and completed the survey on their behalf. And as far as recruitment, again, we used homogenous convenient sampling, word of mouth. We went to local community and social events. There's a huge Black Expo that goes on in Charleston every year. We attended that and recruited. We also went to other events. And we recruited for 6 months. So during the summer, it's really hard to recruit people to complete surveys. So I was pounding the pavement, but people did complete them. And the surveys were anonymous. So no names were provided on the surveys, because I know a lot of people are hesitant about that. As far as data analysis, our methodology, we did look at some descriptive statistics of the sample, We did bivariate analysis and multivariate analysis, and I'll give you just a brief overview of the results. So these are our general statistics. So once the data was clean, we had a total of 405 individuals. Most individuals fell within the age group of 45 to 64. The mean age for our participants was about 49. The oldest individual was 87 years of age. The sample was predominantly female. Most individuals had college or more education. The income was $20,000 to $49,000. And we created a variable SES using income and education, and most individuals fell within high SES brackets. As far as the risk-reducing health behaviors, we focused on health behaviors that were introduced in a paper by Dart et al. That talks about there are 8 things that you can actually do to reduce your risk for cancer. So we focused on those as our 8 behaviors. So we looked at smoking, physical activity, diet, weight. We also looked at some of the screening behaviors of some of the individuals. We focused on prostate, breast, and colorectal cancer, as well as cervical cancer, and we looked at HPV vaccination. So for the sake of time and your eyes, I will not go through all of these, but these are just some of the findings. 18% of the participants did not have health insurance. 77% reported having a family member who had been diagnosed with cancer. 17% had been diagnosed with some form of cancer, the forms that we actually asked about. About 48% said that they had diabetes alone, but more than that, more percentage had diabetes as well as some other comorbidity. 81%, which is very important, believed that living in a community with pollution issues could harm their health. They didn't necessarily believe that they lived in a community where that was a factor, but they did believe that that would harm their health. And they were also knowledgeable about the fact that there's a correlation between environmental exposures and things going on in the environment and cancer. So for our bivariate analysis, we wanted to look at some of the factors in the literature that talks about there's an association with perceptions of cancer risk. So we looked at sex, we looked at age, we looked at SES. We also looked at health insurance and environmental causes of cancer. Does environment cause cancer? None of these factors were actually associated when it came to the bivariate analysis. But regardless of that fact, we still chose to continue on and conduct the multivariate analysis. So for our multivariate analysis, we didn't find any associations between perceptions of environmental cancer risk and environmental health risk and perceived cancer risk or cancer worry. Cancer worry is also measured through HINTS when it comes to perceptions of cancer. And so there was no association with the environmental factors, and I'll talk a little bit about why I think we didn't have that finding. In addition, we looked particularly at low perceived cancer risk because the literature talks about among African Americans, they have a lower perceived cancer risk than other groups, mainly underserved individuals do. So non-whites have a lower perceived cancer risk, but African Americans in particular do. We did, however, find that there was a significant association when it comes to perceived cancer risk and two particular health behaviors. That was alcohol consumption and colon cancer screening. So those individuals that had a lower perception of cancer risk, they did not actually consume alcohol, and they did actually have a colorectal screening exam, which if you think about it makes sense. That is a risk factor. So it seems that this group is very knowledgeable, and this is also a highly educated group as well. So every study has its limitations as well as so some of the limitations as far as our study is maybe selection bias in a sense that we try to control for these things, but people self-referred. So self-referring, a lot of individuals that are typically willing to to participate in research know a little bit more about their health or more knowledge, or they know a little bit more about their health and they're willing to kind of change some of their behaviors compared to others. And social desirability is potentially a problem. You know, when we were asking some of the questions, people will talk to you and have conversation, but I think there's also interjected in there some of the social desirability. Using a cross-sectional study was a limitation in the sense that you cannot determine whether the perceptions actually cause them to actually do something. So that whole causation, causal inference thing can't be identified necessarily using cross-sectional study. And of course, we primarily looked at only African Americans. So you can't, in an environmental justice community in a metropolitan area, it's not necessarily generalizable. And we only had one population. So there's no comparison group. But we can utilize this information to kind of explore and look at other metropolitan areas and nationally at a larger scale in terms of grants.
So you might be asking yourself, why is this innovative? Everybody uses a survey.
This is true. However, everybody doesn't use a triangulation in terms of their methodology. So I'll just give you an example of what we did because this is part of a larger study. So in terms of our mixed methodology, this is an example of a photo that someone took in our Photo Voice project, which happened before the environmental health survey. And they titled this Do Something. And the person said, water contamination, debris in the water, going fishing, crabbing due to lack of awareness. So they were just describing why they took a picture of this and how this impacts health. Somebody has to tell the people better. People need to know. So participant 41 felt like there are a lot of people that go down to this watering hole and they fish. And so if you know anything about Charleston, it's right on the water. And so there's a large fishing community. And so a lot of people go down and they fish in this area, and people just felt like it's unhealthy. There's been some contamination, but no one has told these people you can't fish there, and that's a problem. So this was actually, water pollution was a reoccurring thing. It wasn't just one picture, but we used that to actually interject some of the questions into this particular question. Would you say being exposed to one of the following is a very serious health threat, somewhat serious, somewhat minor, or not a health threat at all? And so those things that are listed in red, we actually adjusted and provided a definition for this survey. And this question came from the Perceptions of Environmental Health Risk Survey that was created by Princeton. So we describe water pollution as contamination of water with chemicals or foreign substances that are harmful to your health. And then, in addition to Photo Voice and using that to inform the survey, the other aspect of my dissertation looked at actual cancer risk. So we actually utilized data from the National Scale of Toxics Assessment through the EPA, and we mapped cancer risk. And we looked at total cancer risk. And what we did was looked at the metropolitan area, and we wanted to know, when it comes to defining an environmental justice community, which looks at percent minority, which looks at poverty, and also looks at low income, if we look at these factors, is there a correlation or relationship when it comes to cancer risk disparity, cancer risk? So with that being said, the first map in green looks at cancer risk by Black population, and you'll see it's centered in a certain area. So that's high cancer risk and high Black population. The second map in blue looks at incidence by Black population. So we didn't want to just look at cancer risk. We also wanted to look at other factors. So you're seeing the risk, but what are the outcomes looking like? Is there high incidence, and is there high mortality? And so you'll find that I didn't circle all the areas when it came to incidence and mortality, but the darker areas are where we're seeing a lot. And it wasn't necessarily a correlation between where you're seeing the cancer risk and where you're actually seeing the incidence and mortality. So the strengths of this study were, one, it spans the literature on cancer and environmental health risk perceptions. Not a lot of people look at risk perceptions in terms of cancer and environment together. This is actually one of the first studies. It was one study besides ours that asked questions about cancer risk and environmental health risk, but they only asked one question. They only looked at specific environmental cancer risk. In addition, we found that there were some viable options in terms of African Americans explaining why they have a lower cancer risk. Most of the literature talks about their lower risk is related to not knowing what their family history was, but we found that in this particular group, they knew about their family history, and we asked a follow-up question. One of the things that they said is their beliefs were based on the fact that they had some experience through their family or themselves, or they talked to a medical provider. And lastly, this is some formative research. So we're doing additional studies, and we're submitting additional grants to continue to work with our community partner. And this is the first survey to actually analyze the Pew environmental health items. So usually individuals just summarize the findings from the Pew survey. This is the first analysis of that. And for the sake of time, just the conclusion. So it seems like African Americans in Charleston, they're very knowledgeable. They know what's going on. This community has been fighting environmental justice factors and issues for about 10 years now. So they band together and they created an organization that fights environmental justice issues. And compared to another community that we were working with that doesn't know a lot about the environmental justice issues, they're very knowledgeable. And we can use this information to, again, help reduce some of the factors that we're seeing and control some of these prevention behaviors as far as these environmental health risks, and also work to combat what's going on in our communities as far as advocating. There are a lot of implications, and a part of the implications are the contextual public health interventions. We can aim those at, especially with the, as far as the GIS, we can look at and use some of that data to kind of pinpoint where we're seeing more of cancer risk, and that can inform what we're doing in terms of public health. So as far as the next steps, I've already mentioned that we're writing a grant. We recently submitted an R01. We're working with the CCRAB, our research advisory board, on that grant. And we're also looking into it, doing some other things, potentially an environmental health center to kind of explore what is going on and how do we actually change some of the environmental justice issues we're seeing. And we will, some of the things that I would like to do is actually look at the measures that we use in terms of the Pew survey, because I think those measures have not been validated. And some of the reasons why we probably didn't see an association between perceived cancer risk and environmental health risk is because those questions, when we were just looking at them and assessing them, they're not measuring one construct. They're measuring more than one construct. And you have to make sure that the tools that you're using are validated and they are useful in terms of what you're trying to get done in terms of the community. These are my colleagues, my dissertation committee, of course, Dr. Brandt, Dr. Nang, Dr. Harden, Dr. Wilson, and all the individuals, including the community that participated in this research. The paper on the survey has been published, and this is the citation. It's been published in the Journal of Community Health in October. So if you're interested and you want to learn more about our research, thank you for your patience.